Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, November 24th, 2011. Well, for writers, the scariest thing about this past Halloween was the announcement that HarperCollins bought Thomas Nelson. Thomas Nelson, one of the leading trade publishers in the United States, was founded in 1798 in Edinburgh, Scotland. According to HarperCollins' release, Thomas Nelson publishes books, Bibles, ebooks, journals, audio, video, curriculum, and smartphone apps. It's also published some of the best-selling books in the industry, including the current number one bestseller, Heaven is for Real, and the books of many popular authors such as Billy Graham, Max Lucado, and Dave Ramsey. Well, the news was scary because of two reasons. One, HarperCollins is owned by Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation, which recently found itself in trouble for hacking into celebrities' email and cell phone accounts. And two, HarperCollins also owns Zondervan, which it bought in 1988, Thomas Nelson's main competitor. And there's also Harper One, HarperCollins' own religious and spirituality imprint. Well, it seems to me, and this is my personal opinion, that the fact that HarperCollins now owns 50% of the religious publishing business can't be good news for anyone in the publishing business, authors, bookstores, distributors, etc. Well, it may take a while for these things to get settled out. I think there are going to be two things that are going to happen. First, within about the first 5 to 10 years, HarperCollins will begin rationalizing Thomas Nelson and Zondervan genres and authors. For example, if Zondervan sells less teen fiction than Thomas Nelson, then the Zondervan genre will be cut out and only Thomas Nelson will remain. Eventually, authors won't be published under the Zondervan or Thomas Nelson signatures individually, but with a HarperCollins or Harper One imprint. And second, there will be an increase in custom-published Christian books because beginning authors will find it more and more difficult to be published. The need for a platform, which was a recent discussion thread on the Word Guild listserv, will be more important than ever, and the only way beginning authors will find a way to get their books to readers will be to do it themselves. Well, what are your thoughts? Do you agree? Disagree? Drop me a line at robert@selawministries.ca. That's robert@selawministries.ca. And let's keep this conversation going. Keep listening, and I'll repeat the email address at the end of today's show.
Yeah. What up, Quo? I bet y'all probably thought I'd never make it out of the city, didn't ya? Hey, Canada. I'm coming, baby. From the east to the west coast.
I got my stuff all packed up. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to go. Hit the open road to rock shows. So I'll see you soon, Quo. Let's make this happen. Show the world. From a place where they say it can't be done. Obstacles are overcome while I learn to run. But not a sprint, I'm prepared for the Ironman Marathon. Story of the year, get them so they can air it on. 6 o'clock news, show you all what's up. While you chilling in the bar, I'm dropping bars and cuts. All over the world, copping myself wealth. Then you never thought this kid would ever make it out of Guelph. But
I've been traveling and know. Sometime soon I will be home. But for now I gotta rep wealth out here. Small town kid. Real big this year. I'm that kid they never bet on, thinking that I'd never get on. Most people don't make it, but I'm not them. Now you're probably regretting not betting on him.
I'm looking out the plane window of Canada, yo. I went to professional from a little amateur bro. From rocking open mics and Jimmy Jazz back in the day with DJ DMS and Matty G half in the bag. I kept the shine on the ball with the local.
That was Small Town Kid, one of the tracks from the new Optic CD, Destiny. Well, tonight's guest, Darren Piper, is Optix, a Guelph-based hip-hop musician. The song we just heard, Small Town Kid, tells a bit of his story, and we're going to spend the next little while finding out about Darren's roots, what he's doing now, and what he hopes to do in the future. Good evening, Darren.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. In Small Town Kid, I was listening to it, and you give us a look at your roots. You mentioned things like places like Jimmy Jazz and people like DJD and Manny G. How did you get into hip-hop?
Well, to be honest, when I was in high school, I got into it through breakdancing. But what ended up happening is I broke my ankle skateboarding, And so I couldn't do breakdancing anymore. And I just loved the whole hip-hop culture. And I was kind of like, okay, well, which one of the elements do I want to pursue? And I always really liked, when I was breakdancing, I liked the way that, just the way that the beats hit and the way that the MCs put their rhymes together. And it always just really attracted me. And so I decided basically right then and there that I wanted to pursue career as an MC.
And how, what sort of steps did you take to move from the dance part to the MC part?
Well, because I was laid up, when I busted my ankle, I just started like listening to a lot of instrumentals and a lot of just underground hip hop. At that point I was listening to like I guess some Eminem, some Swollen Members, Dilated Peoples, stuff like that. And I just started freestyling a lot. Like I would be around my friends and stuff, and I would just start rhyming. Actually, in the beginning, a lot of them kind of dissed me and stuff like that, and said, you know, you're whack and all this, because I was in the beginning. But you got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started getting involved in like local little freestyle cyphers and battles and going down to Jimmy Jazz. They used to have this hip-hop You Don't Stop open mic night on Thursdays where DJ DMS and Matty G were on the ones and twos. And it was just like basically an exercise session for MCs. So like we would all just, all the local MCs would get together down at Jimmy Jazz and just freestyle over beats. And it was a lot of fun. And then I also got together with some MCs in my high school, Centennial, and we formed a group called RCR and produced a CD and then started doing shows, and that's kind of how things started for me.
So when did you, so this is back in high school, that, how did you sort of progress from that to where you are now?
Well, at that point in my life, I was a bit of a prodigal son. Like, I've been a Christian my whole life. But I was just going through my rebellious phase and kind of into the party scene and all that. But we had our last show together as RCR. We opened up for the Rascals and IRS at what is now called Vinyl, but back in the day it was Trashteria. And then after that, I just decided that I wanted to do a solo thing. And so then that's when I just kind of broke away from the group. And my best friend at the time, who was my producer as well, we started working on my first solo album, which was Area 51-9 Covert Ops. And so we did that, and that kind of started the journey towards where I am today with Destiny, in terms of being like a quote-unquote gospel rap artist.
Now, was it around that time that you decided you wanted to make hip-hop your career? Like, this was where you wanted to go in terms of career direction?
Yeah, I just, around that time also, I was getting a lot of crazy back pain, and I actually ended up having back surgery a little after my ankle surgery when I broke and dislocated and fractured my ankle skateboarding. About a year later I had back surgery, and one of the physiotherapists, Andy Wang, he said to me, you know, you're going to have to do some kind of career where, you use your mind and, not so much your body. And so to me, I've always been a creative person, and I was always like, okay, well, I really love doing this. And, when I'm on stage rapping and stuff like that, like, I just feel totally at home. So I just decided pretty much at that point that, yeah, this is what I want to do. And I just started, researching into it and really kind of just looking into, on a serious note, looking into Canadian rap artists and how they got their careers off the ground. And so that's what I've been pursuing basically for 10 or 12 years now.
Well, who have been some of the people that have been your influences then as over the years?
Well, when I first started out, I would have to say that there was a lot of Canadian rap artists, specifically Swollen Members. they had come to Guelph and they did a show, and I was at that show and I was really inspired by just the way that they performed, the way they captured the crowd, and just their whole vibe. Like, it just seemed like a really fun lifestyle. And at the time, I was into, like, drinking and partying and stuff like that. So I was like, hey, if I can do this and if I can make money at it, that's great, you know. And then a little bit later on, I started to realize that the party lifestyle is there's no future in it, you know. Like, eventually, any artist that has a career built on that, they burn out. And, I mean, you hear stories about it all the time. The artist that started influencing me, like, in the last few years, I would have to say is Manifest is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Lecrae, Fresh IE, Cross Movement, KJ52, Toby Mac. And I'll be honest with you, like, when I was younger, when I would listen to Christian hip hop, it was hard for me to get into it because it almost sounded like cheesy to me, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't have that raw kind of edge that the underground artists that I really liked were bringing to the table. So I always was kind of like, you know what, I want to try and create something that brings that raw hip-hop sound, you know, from the inner city kind of thing, and mesh that with the word and with, you know, my life story and how Christ basically, you know, did a 180 on me.
Yeah, and I think that was a challenge at the beginning when Christian hip hop was coming out, simply because there was an attempt to have some acceptability in the church, but they also had to sort of make it palatable enough. Well, they wanted to have that raw sound. They also had to make it palatable enough to be accepted into the church scenes, but I think that's really changed. I mean, if you listen to, you mentioned Manifest, you know, his latest CD, it's got that rawness as well that you're talking about, and I sense that coming through in your latest with Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And that. So, where did the moniker Optics come from?
That's funny. That's a question I always get. Well, when I was laid up, when I busted my ankle skateboarding, I was kind of just trying to search out a name to go by, and I was just like thinking of words that are kind of catchy, thinking of words that MCs have used in their rhymes and stuff that sound real catchy, and I just always liked the sound of Optics. I heard it in a Mobb Deep song. I heard them use the word Optics. I heard Shocklair use it in one of his tracks off of his Ice Cold LP back in the day, and then I just looked up the word to see, you know, like, what the actual definition of it was, and it means the study of vision through light, or the study of vision in light. And so the other thing is that I've always, like, before I started rhyming, I was a visual artist, you know, like, I draw and I paint and stuff like that, and God's really gifted me in that area. So, and the way that I put my rhymes across is, like, it's almost like I'm painting a picture, you know. Like, people, when they hear my tracks and stuff, they tell me, like, it's like you're creating a real visual picture in your rhymes. And so, yeah, I just decided to go with Optics, and I switched up the C and S with a K and Z just to kind of give it a bit of edginess, and you know, it looks cool when you write it out, and it sounds cool, and it kind of stuck with me from that point.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of people I run into on the streets, like, don't really know me by my real name. They know me as Optics, and so that it kind of just stuck, and that's what I've been rolling with ever since.
Cool. Got to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll continue our interview with Darren Piper. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Three, two, one, go! Been waiting too long, but not no more. Lord, telling me what you've been waiting for. I don't think that I'm ready yet. Well, bathing suit, better get it wet. Jump into the deep end, too. Have faith that I will rescue you. Can't do it, though, like Moses, yo. Gotta feel like I'm an overflow. Stress, and I feel comatose. Kinda like I had an overdose. Jesus said, yo, who
fishing, man, I'm ready to go. Got my Bible in my head and the Almighty's fishing pole ready to explode and flow.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Roadside Fisherman from the new Optic CD, Destiny. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Optics, who, when he's not behind the mic, is Darren Piper. Darren, just before the break, you were talking about the songs and how some people say that you paint pictures with your song. You actually see that in Roadside Fisherman. You can see that image of someone with a Bible in their hand type of thing, and so you can really see that. Looking at that, a lot of the songs on Destiny have strong Christian themes. How much of an influence is your faith on your music?
I would say it's pretty much the driving factor. Just because I've always had this feeling like that God has kind of been saying to me, you know, I've given you this gift for a reason, and you know, the Great Commission in the Bible is to become a disciple and go out and make disciples, right? And so I went through a phase where I was, like I said, I was doing party hip hop and stuff like that, you know, with a lot of I guess obscene language and talking about stuff that's not really righteous or even of the Lord at all. But at a certain point, I just kind of I realized that I needed to, in order to change, I needed to fully invite Christ into my life, and there was a journey of it was a real struggle, actually. Like I was wrestling with God on this, because I had this thought in my head, and you can hear it in my rhymes in some of the songs on Destiny, where I was thinking, okay, I'm this white guy, I'm from Guelph, I'm a Christian, and I'm trying to do Christian hip hop. And on top of that, with all the physical injuries I've acquired over the years and how they you know, basically disable me from being able to perform at my full capacity, it just made me really struggle with it. But I realized that you know, I need to not be ashamed of who I am, and who I am is a child of God, and that's where my identity lies. And so with Destiny, it was like you know, I just want to totally give this to God, and I want to you know, put my best foot forward and and just put my faith into my music. And it's a struggle a lot of the times, because, you know, the type of person that I am, I wouldn't call myself the perfect Christian, and I don't really know. I don't believe there is any perfect Christian, but it is a struggle when you're in a position where kids or any people are going to be looking at you under sort of like a, you know, a magnifying glass or whatever, at your life and the way you live it, to see if it actually lines up with what you're saying in your songs. And so, like with Roadside Fisherman, I was basically, the whole idea of the song was saying that this is what I want to do. I want to go around the world. I want to share my story through hip hop, and I want to make a career out of this. But at the same time, I have doubts and I have fears that it won't happen, because either my lifestyle is not going to match up with the lyrics, and, you know, people are going to say that I'm a fraud, or I'm you know, like, basically a hypocrite, I guess you could say. And I've also got this fear about my back, because I've had two pretty intense back surgeries in my life, and at this point I'm, you know, still struggling with chronic back pain, and there's that fear that that it won't happen. So I'm kind of in a position where my faith and my music are really linked together, because I need to have faith in the Lord that he'll, you know, provide a way to make this happen. Because on my own strength, I can't make it happen, and I know that entirely now. So, mm-hmm. In terms of the question you asked me, yeah, my faith plays a huge role. I would say my music and my faith go hand in hand.
In looking at that, and you mentioned earlier some of your musical influences, who have been your influences on your spirit, in your spiritual life?
Oh, man. to be honest, there's more influences in terms of people on my life than there are artists. To name a few, the church I go to, Pastor John Wright, he's been a heavy influence. A friend of mine who's the assistant pastor there, John McCallum, that walked through, with me through my journey for the last few years. Some mentors I could list off. One of them is Bill Price. Brian Bulger out at Lakeside Church. Friend of mine, Brad Dugas, who actually mastered my last two CDs. He mastered Focus In and Destiny. And there's lots of other people, so I don't want to...
Yeah, you don't want to start listening to everybody and then miss somebody, so...
And someone's listening and like, hey, man, you didn't say my name, you know? But, you know, the people know who they are, yeah. And there's been a lot of them, and I stay connected with them on the regular because I need it, you know?
Looking at, just got a couple of minutes here, and I'm just thinking about, you're talking about how when you write your songs, it's sort of like painting a picture in that, and one of the things that I like asking songwriters is it's sort of about the process. And when you're doing it, what comes first? Is it the lyrics? Is it the beat? How does it work for you?
Well, for me, it's basically the beat. The beat comes first, and whether it's the melody for the track or the actual drum loop itself. But as soon as my head starts nodding to it, and depending on what the music is, like. And where I'm at emotionally at that point in my life or spiritually or whatever, the lyrics sort of just come after the beat is made. And so I'll be sitting there and I'll produce a beat. Oftentimes it won't even be done, but I'll just start writing to it. And a lot of times too, like the stuff that I write, like sometimes I don't even remember writing it. You know, it's like the Holy Spirit just kind of takes over and it's a really cool process, you know, especially in hindsight, listening to some of the songs off Destiny, I can get a real sense of the Holy Spirit moving through me, with the lyrics and because it's a gift that I've been given from God and I don't pretend to, take all the accolades for that.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely my process is the beat first and then the rhymes. I think if I do it the other way, I mean, when I'm writing to the beat, I can actually feel it. I really like to, I'm really big on flow. The flow has to be there. And so for me, like the beat, the music kind of like contributes to the flow. And when I'm writing it, like I'll write the verse, I'll go back through it. Sometimes I have to take out a few words or put a few words in to get the flow right on point. But for me, it's the beat, then the rhymes.
Now, how do you come up with the new beats? Like, what where do you find new beats?
Well, for me, I use Pro Tools and Reason. And when I'm creating a beat, like, I'll just be listening, like... I'll open up the session and I'll just start fooling around, you know, with the keyboard and trying to come up with a melody and stuff like that. And it's just kind of like whatever I'm feeling that at that point. Like if I'm feeling like really, you know, hype, then I want to get something with like some trumpets or some brass or some heavy synth or whatever. And if I'm in more of a mood where I want to write kind of like a ballad, sort of like If Only I Knew on Destiny, then, you know, like I had an actual artist. I had Nabby, who's a local...
Yeah, I've got her CD.
Yeah, I guess you would say a folk pop artist. Yeah. I'm not sure, but she came by the studio and we were just hanging out and she just started playing something on the guitar and I was like, yo, like, let's record that. And so we did. And then we were going through drum loops, and she was kind of listening, and she heard something, and so it's not always just me that's producing the beats. Like, I'll have musicians over, like Nabby, laying down, you know, guitar riffs and stuff like that, and then we build the beat together, and start writing.
Great. I'd love to keep going on this because I love talking about the creative process, but we're quickly running out of time. Two quick questions. Where can people get a hold of Destiny and find out more information about Optics?
Well, Destiny is going to be available in Guelph at the Christian Bookstore, and also at in Waterloo and Kitchener at the Gospel Lighthouse, and it's going to be available in southwestern Ontario in HMV. And where they can get more information is at facebook.com/OpticsCA. So that's OPTIKZCA. Or they can go to myspace.com/OpticsCA.
Great. And what's next?
Well, right now I'm working with my band, and we're just, you know, rehearsing all the tracks, and hopefully in 2012 our goal is to get out there and start pounding the pavement and just doing lots and lots and lots of shows.
Great.
So we're just kind of like fine-tuning everything, getting the merchandise all ready, getting the show to a point where it's not just a show, like it's an actual performance, and almost like a theater production, you know. Like, mm-hmm. we want to make it super entertaining, so when people see the show from start to finish, their jaws are just hitting the floor, and then afterwards they're like, okay, we want to support these guys, I want to buy the Optics CD.
Great. Darren, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Darren Piper. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.